As we enter into a prayer service, I am reminded of a story that I heard just yesterday of a preacher in Miami as he was thinking about prayer. And he said, "What do I pray for?" He said, "Do I pray that it missed Miami and hit Tampa? Do I pray that it goes the other way and hits Georgia and Carolinas? Or what do I pray for?" And he said, "How do we know what to pray for?" And so often as we go into prayer, we have this turmoil in our hearts and our minds, and we don't really know what to pray for. Jesus, of course, prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." But how do we know what the will of Jesus is? How can we determine that what I'm thinking or what I'm praying really is the will of God? I'd like for us to look at another prayer of Jesus in John chapter 12. And there, beginning in verse 27, Jesus says there, "Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." As we look at what Jesus is saying here, he's saying that his soul is troubled, not as much because of what he's fixing to face, but his soul is troubled because he doesn't know really what to pray for. From a personal standpoint, Jesus is thinking, "I would like to pray. This doesn't have to happen. I don't want to go through all of this. And at the same time, I don't want to pray, save me from this hour, because I know that's the reason I'm here in the first place." And so the soul of Jesus was troubled. What should he pray for? Well, I think at times we face the same question in our prayers. And so as we pray for people that are sick, do we pray that they get well? Well, sometimes there's a whole lot worse things by getting well than there is not getting well. Do we, you know, we don't want to pray for somebody to suffer, so we often pray that God will lessen the pain. But is that really God's will? Should we pray for a person that's terminally ill? I know on one occasion there was a lady, and they told me they'd called in the family, and I went and had prayer with them, and I basically prayed for the family, and the next day they called me and said, "She's up and doing good." You don't know. And so we don't know what God has in mind. And yet at the same time, none of us would pray for somebody to die probably. But we are in good company when we have this turmoil in our minds, because what we see here is that the soul of Jesus was troubled, and he asked the question, "What shall I pray for?" In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." God knows what's best for us. And God knows what's best for each of the people that we will be praying for this evening. And so what we need to do is we need to trust God to do his will, to do what's right. There's an interesting story in 2 Kings chapter 20. King Hezekiah became very sick. Isaiah the prophet came to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, you're going to die." Isaiah turned his head toward the wall and he began crying, and he prayed to God to spare his life. Before Isaiah even got out of the house, God said, "Isaiah, go back and tell him I'm going to make him well." And he did. You see, here is a case where a man was fixing to die, but because of prayer, his life was spared. But God doesn't always say yes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says that three times he prayed that the Lord would remove that thorn in the flesh that he had. But God said no. He says, "My grace is sufficient." And so he said, "I have learned how to depend on God because of the trials which I've gone through." But as we go back to our text, John chapter 12, look at that very last sentence. Here is the key to it. Jesus said, Father, here's what I want you to do. You glorify your name. And this should be the aim of everything that we do, and it certainly should be the aim of our prayers, is that whatever happens, Lord, use it to glorify your name. As hard as it is for us to accept, God is often glorified in tragedy. In people fleeing from Irma, there was a lady that posted on Facebook yesterday that she was at the gas station in Cullman, and she saw people in front of her that were from Miami, and she talked to them just briefly. But then this older man and his wife came up to them and said, we see that you're from Miami, and we were at home, and we were watching on television, and we were praying for the Lord to help us to know what to do, and he just put it on our heart to help somebody. And he said, we want to help you. We've got a house that we just bought. It's a rental house. It's got furniture in it. You're welcome to come bring your kids and your dogs and stay there. And you can see the man was obviously leery of these two people. And he continued to talk to the man. He said, I just want you to know that we're just trying to do what God wants us to do. And he said, let's go get something to eat at the Cracker Barrel first, and then we'll take you to the house. And he did. It's terrible tragedy what's happening. But how much love has been felt and shown because of it. Very often, the death of people also glorifies God. My nephew Eric was killed at 16 in a motorcycle accident. But there were people brought to the Lord because of his life and because of his death. The same thing can be said of what happened with Levi, who died recently. And people's faith was strengthened. And with Leah, even all of our faith, and mine especially, was strengthened. And the list just goes on. God can glorify his name even when we don't understand. As we go through these tragedies, we're made stronger. We learn to depend on God. We learn to trust him. And so our responsibility is to pray and to trust God to do his will. James chapter 1 tells us that we are to pray in faith. He says, pray without doubting, but pray knowing that God will indeed answer our prayers. So we pray that we might glorify God and that we might do his will and use his wisdom to glorify his name. We can pray tonight and we can know that God will hear us, that he knows what's best in every situation, and he will work for our good and for the good of those that love him, and his name will be glorified. Let us pray. Father, we ask you to give us wisdom to know how to pray and what to pray for. We pray that this service will glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What an excellent way to begin this prayer service. I've been praying this week to help us through this. As Robert has mentioned, I didn't know what to pray for either. But as we decided in our business meeting to plan this prayer service and to carry this out, there's a lot of reasons for that. We have that prayer list in our bulletin, and I must confess, sometimes I read through it, sometimes I don't, sometimes I mention those people that are on that prayer list in my prayers, sometimes I don't, but I think I can safely say I know for myself, if I know what's going on in the lives of those people, I'm more likely to pray for them. So our plan this evening is to give the status of everybody that's on the prayer list. We started the initial prayer list that we started updating out there on the foyer. It's what was on the prayer list when we made this decision to have this service this evening. as we did that and started asking for status, you all want, you know, provided status wonderfully, and I appreciate it. I think there's only maybe four that we never got status on, and I've got them listed on here. I just don't have a status for them. And it's not that they're not important. I know whoever turned in those names had them heavy in, on their hearts at the time. But what I hope is, as we look at these status of these people this evening, I hope that each one of us will realize this is somebody I need to pray for. And we're going to pray for every one of them in their service this evening. But I hope it will continue in your personal prayers. And as you hear of statuses of things, things have gotten better or worse, I want to mention that as well. Thank God for the ones that got better. And pray to God for those that are not quite doing so well. Because that's what prayer is all about. And Brother Robert has said wonderfully, we do these things to bring glory back to God. That's what God wants us to do. And so as we go through this evening, I'm going to start with those people that have been removed from the prayer list because they're doing better. You might wonder, well, why are we starting with them? It's very important that we say thank you, Father, for all that he does for us. And I know I've prayed for a lot of these people. I suspect most of you have as well. Do we forget when God does make them better? We forget to say thank you. And so I want us to mention each of these names this evening. And we're going to say thank you to God when we pray for this here in a little bit. Buddy and Pam Bedingfield. Tammy Broadway. Shannon Carter. Alice George, Daniel Harris, Daryl Huffman, Jeff Kilpatrick, Jim Lanham, Dustin Mason, Dot Miller, Don Osborne, Callie Parsons, Opal Lovell Romine, Hazel Roop, Jan Sanborn, Larry Shehorn, Lee Thomas, and Wilma Aldridge. All of these were on the list when we started this preparing for this service, but all have been reported in the status that we've received that they're better, and at least for now, we will remove them. I do know that some of these still have problems. It may be that we need to put them back on the list at some time. And if you want to put somebody back on, it's perfectly good and appropriate to do that. What I would ask as we add people, if we get a status and they do need to be removed, let's try to keep this list as effective as we possibly can and make it really mean something, because these are people we want to pray for on a regular basis. So all of these are some that's been removed because they're doing better. You may question this next one. We also want to pray for those who have been removed from the prayer list because they passed away. Excuse me. This is harder for some of you than it is for me, I know. But those of you been around me know sometimes I get choked up. These are people that we've lost. And as Robert has mentioned, sometimes we pray for people and it's not God's will. God has a bigger plan and he knows what's best. And I hope all of us can strengthen our faith and put our trust in God to know that he knows what's best. These have passed on, but let me tell you, they've touched every one of our lives. And we need to thank God that we had them to begin with, and we need to thank God that they've gained the victory. They have gone to be with God and live with him forever. So these are some that we want to keep in our minds, keep near and dear to our hearts, and pray for the family even for weeks and months to come. Patty Carter, Gertrude Patterson, Leah Seibert, Billy Sue Whitt, Roger Whitt, and Eli Williams. These are some that were on our prayer list that have passed away and gone on to be with the Lord. Let us bow as we pray for this group at this time. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to have you as our God and to know that you do care for us every day. You know when our hearts are heavy. You know when our hearts are joyful. We want to thank you, Father, for those that have gotten better. We know, Father, that healing is in your power, that you have our life in your hands, and we thank you for those that have gotten better. We also realize, Father, that those that we've lost, even though it's a very empty spot in our hearts for them, we also know, Father, that your plan is bigger, that those have gone on to the victory that comes through Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that, Father, and we pray that your name will be glorified even in the passing of these loved ones. We pray that you will help us to be strong and to continue our faith in thee despite the loss of those that we have here on this earth. But most of all, Father, as we look at this, we want us to all realize that one day that will come to us as well. And we look forward to that time when we can come home and live with you eternally in heaven. For this is our prayer in the name of Jesus, your Son, and our Savior. Amen. This next group that we want to pray for is our church family. We are blessed with a wonderful, wonderful group of people here. Some of you have heard me say before, I'm so blessed to be an elder at Ephesus. If you can't be an elder at Ephesus, it's not because of the people. It's because of me. And I'm here to tell you, y'all humble me awful. Y'all humble me in the good times and in the bad. And I've prayed many times for the wisdom that I need as an elder, and I think the other elders can safely say the same thing. But you are family. We are family. And when we look at these members, these are brothers and sisters in Christ in our local congregation here. We ought to be really close, and we ought to be praying for these on a regular basis. So I'm going to give a status of these individually as I go through, and I want us to think about these and continue to pray for them as they go on. I did want to mention in the beginning, these statuses are the latest that I have received. All of these change from time to time, so it's very possible that I may have some status on here that is either behind the times or maybe I didn't type it correctly. If you have updates, please pass them on to the one making announcements from time to time and let that be known so that we know what's going on with each of these people. Rebecca Biggerstaff, we all know that she is continuing at home, but she's in a lot of pain. She's trying to walk after her fall, and of course she had some complications, had to go to the hospital for a while. But we need to remember her, and she was even mentioned this morning in our announcements. But we need to pray for her. Odessa Birdwell, she has some blood sugar problems. She has some kidney problems. As a matter of fact, her kidney problems are so serious, the doctor wanted to put her on kidney dialysis. She has actually asked for a second opinion. We want to do some more tests before we go to that step. But she has some very serious health problems, and we want to remember her. Joyce Brooks, she's here with us tonight, and I'm thankful for that she's able to come. The surgery she had to fuse her vertebrae appears to be successful from what we hear, but she's continuing to have a lot of pain. I heard today she's going back to the doctor tomorrow. We need to pray and pray strongly that she can get some relief and that they'll be able to find what the problem is and help resolve that. Brother Bill Hendricks, who worshiped here physically with us for many, many years, is now in Florida. I hope he's safe from the hurricane. But he's confined at home, and he has problems with his eyes and problems with his hip, as oftentimes comes as we get older. We need to pray for Brother Bill and pray that he will improve if it be that the will of God. Mary Jane Lewis, she's confined at home after her fall. She struggles from time to time, and she's a very humble lady. She will not ask for much help. But if you can come and visit her or do anything to help her, I can assure you she will appreciate it. And we need to remember her in our prayers. Margaret Lovell, I'm pleased to announce that the last report we had, she's doing good. But she's still staying with Linda and Donnie, and we're thankful that they are taking such good care of her. But you know, even Sister Lovell would need our prayers to help her to continue to have good days and not so many of those bad days that she's had recently. Sister Martha Newby, we have her here tonight. In fact, she's been here most services recently. She is able to get out, thank goodness, but it's not always without some difficulty. And we need to pray for her that she'll be able to get along, get around a little bit better with a little less difficulty. Wanda Robinson, she is doing fairly well, is the way it was described to me. We do know that she's able to get out some, but it's also with some difficulty along the way. Daisy Roper was here this morning, but she's not able to get out this evening. Her last surgery for her cancer appears to have been successful. They think they got all the cancer, and that's good. But they are reviewing and keeping check on things to see if there may be any further treatment needed. And at this point, we don't know what that may be, or hopefully we need to pray that it will not be requiring anything. Sister Marie Ursery, she's been able to come several times in the last month or so. But likewise, hers is with difficulty also. Sometimes it's just hard to get out. We need to pray for these. Thomas Wells, he's here again tonight, as he's here pretty much every service. When I asked him how he's doing, he said, "I'm hanging in there, doing fairly well." And that's a wonderful attitude. But let me tell you, Thomas is struggling as well. We need to pray for Thomas, and we need to pray for all of these as we think of each one and think of them on a daily basis. Again, not just tonight, but we need to remember each other and remember them in our personal prayers as well. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Dwight McNatt to lead us in a prayer for our church family. Group we want to give status on our friends and relatives, and we have a lot of those in our bulletin. We probably won't need to take time in our prayer to mention everyone by name. If there's any specific ones, I will leave that up to the prayer leader, which ones he calls by name. But I want us to look at each of these, and I do have a few of these that I mentioned earlier I do not have a status on. I will give them as such. Anna Smith Alexander has heart problems. Dorothy Allen has a stroke, also has Alzheimer's disease, and is bedfast. Thomas Baldwin is confined to the health facility. Katie Black is in Limestone Health Facility. Carol Abernathy Blackwood is in Decatur Health and Rehab. If you're interested, it's room number 220. The good news on her, she's had no seizures or strokes for 3 weeks, and I think this is about a week old, that status. So hopefully it's remained that way even this week. So probably within the last month, no seizures and strokes, and that's good. But she has had strokes, and because of that, she can't form words and can't move her left side. So that's results from the previous strokes. Betty Brackeen, she had a hip replaced, but she is doing better. We're thankful for that. Brother Glenn Brackeen, he had a stroke, but he's doing well most of the time, and we are thankful for that. All of these, before I change the screen, I want you to notice there's some pretty serious things here. And even though they may be doing better, they're not out of the woods, and we need to remember them in our personal prayers. On our next page, Mamie Bryan. Brother John tells me that she's pretty stable most of the time. She has good days and she has bad days. That can be said about a lot of us. Betty Butler, she is improving. Buddy Chambers, he has heart problems, but he seems to be doing some better. His wife, Lila Dean Chambers, and incidentally they used to worship here, she has Alzheimer's. So I know that the burden that's on Buddy Chambers is a little heavier because of Lila Dean. So we need to remember them. Will Crafts has lymphoma. Connie Craig has health issues, and that's bad enough in itself, but her husband, the next one down, is Ricky Craig. He fell and broke 4 vertebrae. Talk about problems coming in numbers. When both of you, husband and wife, have problems, it gets more difficult. On our next page, the top one here, Mary Britton Crumbly. I debated whether to read this. It's big print, but it is 3/4 of a page here. But I think this one is important to read. I believe this is status from Facebook. I don't use Facebook, so I'm not sure what it looks like. But this is what I received as a status. 3 different statuses, but they're really important to tie them together. August the 27th, Mary Britton Crumbly is the daughter of Hannah and Chase Crumbly and the granddaughter of Steve and Mona Britton. Mary Britton is 21 months old. That would have been on August 27th. She has diamond black fan anemia, DBA. That's the bone marrow does not make enough red blood cells. Her mother reports that she is still transfusion dependent and goes to St. Jude in Memphis on September the 8th. 2 days after the August 27th status, we got one on 29th. Her mother posted, Mary Britton had a great checkup today with Dr. Colorado. I'm not sure who Dr. Colorado is, but her hemoglobin is 11, and she has some baby red blood cells, which is all good. Remember the problem on the other? It wasn't making enough red blood cells. She is 3 weeks out from her last transfusion. She is wanting to take her meds, or she is not wanting to take her meds. Remember, she's less than 2 years old. Not wanting to take her meds too well, but we will figure out a way to get her to take them. Now we're ready for her checkup at St. Jude in Memphis next week. Now September the 8th, this is when she went back to St. Jude Hospital. She received a good report from St. Jude. Her hemoglobin was still good. They will be doing more genetic testing. We need to pray that things will continue in the progress side of this thing for little Mary Britton Crumbly. The next one is Mary Dominguez. I messed it up, and I was expecting to mess up the last name, and I can say Mercy. But I learned that she works at Publix. If you've eaten some of the sample food, she may be one that prepared it for you down there, by the way. But she had breast cancer surgery on August the 17th, and we need to pray that Mercy will recover and do well from that surgery. Jean Eden, she had a broken hip, and we pray that she will continue to recover from that. Mickey Edgar is one that I did not receive a status on. If anybody knows the status on that, please pass that on at a later time. Natalie Emerson, she has cancer. She's being treated at St. Jude Hospital. She is the girl from Ardmore. I believe she's 16 years old, but she is being treated and needs our prayers as well. Tim Fiscus, he remains about the same, but he's continuing to have dialysis and He's got lots of problems. We need to remember him. Edward Fudge has Parkinson's disease and is gradually going down. Those of us that are familiar with that particular disease know how detrimental that is, and it's something that we need to pray for him and pray that God will give him strength as he deals with this and his family as well. Philip Gates, he has cancer, and I don't have a status other than that on him. Jerry Hagermaker, he also has cancer, and likewise, I don't have any further status on him. Irene Holland, she's in Limestone Health Facility. She's better than she was, but like some of the others we've said, she has good days and she has bad days. And we need to pray that she'll have a lot more good days and a lot less bad days. Ashley Hope Kimbrell. Ashley is pregnant. So far as I know, she is doing fine, but the baby has some issues, some pretty serious issues from what I have been told. And as any of you mothers and daddies know, we worry about our babies before they're born, and we need to pray that God will help them through that. Mary Legrone, she is home, some better, but can't get out very much, and we know how tough it is when you can't get out. Elaine Logan, she is still having health problems, and we need to remember her. Catherine Magnuson is recovering from an accident, and we need to pray for her. Tracy Magnuson, we get updates on Tracy from time to time on his cancer, and the last few reports have not been good, but we need to keep praying for him and pray that things will turn around. Gilbert McNatt, he is homebound, and as we mentioned about others, it's difficult when you can't get out. We need to remember Gilbert. The next one is Matthew Moore. He's another one that I do not have a status on. If you know the status, please pass that along. Rex Norman, he has cancer. Excuse me. Molly Paysinger has leukemia. Joni Phillips is in the military. I never served in the military myself, but I have relatives who did. And sometimes we forget about those people, you know, kind of out of sight, out of mind. But I'm here to tell you, they need our prayers. And we need to remember Joni Phillips, who's in the military. Anna Price. Anna Price is improving. She's getting some vision back, which is a good thing. And we need to pray that that will continue. Wade Rogers. He remains in the nursing facility and continues to decline. Karen Rudolph. Has multiple sclerosis, and we were specifically asked to pray for strength for Karen. We need to remember Karen in our prayers. Patty Seibert, she has cancer, and I understand is not doing well. I think sometimes good, sometimes bad reports on her. I don't know what the latest is. And Carla Shannon, the bottom one, I meant to have asked before I got up here. The last report I had, you know, after his hospital stay, he was expecting to go to rehab. I'm assuming by now he's probably going to rehab. Does anybody know? I think that's correct. Okay, so Carla Shannon has gone to rehab, and we need to pray for him. Brianna Smith. I think that means waiting for a stem cell transplant. I don't know for sure. I meant to have found out who. I don't know who put that status on, but they either have it or are going to get it. Does anybody know? To have that, okay. To have the stem cell transplant. I apologize. There's some of these I didn't know who to ask, and I'm trying to report the status as accurate as I can. Logan Smith, he had an upcoming appointment in Birmingham, and I'm assuming that's for a recheck, for a follow-up. Am I correct on recheck, RC? I see my typing didn't go too good there. I got a capital R and a little C. Y'all just overlook my typing. Dorothy Stepp, I don't have a status on Dorothy. If anybody knows that, please pass that along. Vicki Stevens. She has cancer. You will remember she's the wife of Brother Tim Stevens, whom we've had here for our meeting. We need to pray for her. Jeremy Terry, this was given to me this morning. We added that to the list, to the PowerPoint presentation after services this morning. But he has myopathy, and we need to remember Jeremy. Corrine Thornton is in the Limestone Health Facility. Erskine Curtis Thornton, it remains about the same as the status that I've received on him. Gay Aldrich has leukemia and may get a bone marrow transplant. I understand that's confirmed that he will be. So we hope that will work out well. Edith Vaught has lymphoma. Keith Wales continues to have heart issues. Sometimes it seems to raise its ugly head. And I know Jimmy Wade and Francis can vouch for it's never at a good time. There's never a good time for that. But he's awfully young to be going through the heart problems that he's had, and we need to remember him. Debbie Williams is in the Limestone Health Facility. Pete Williams was paralyzed due to an accident. He's at home but not doing well. Katie Marks Winton, still dealing with cancer and still having more tests done to determine how to treat that. Sister Pauline Wise, who used to worship here with us, by the way. But when they check her, her blood work is checking good. She has no osteoporosis, which is normally a problem with us as we get older, especially among women. But she has bone spurs and forms of arthritis that I understand it's breaking off and it's causing continuous pain. And I've known people who had arthritis, and if you've never had it, you don't understand how painful it can be. But I understand she's almost in pain continually. We need to pray for her and pray that she can get some relief. It's really difficult. Last one, Ryan Wise. I have a status that he is improving. And I received two names this evening that are not on the overhead, but I'll mention them as well. Anna Fusion and Donna Author. They both have stage 4 cancer. That's not a good thing, but Anna Fusion and Donna Author. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother David Holt to say a prayer for Brother David. Thank you for mentioning Debbie Putman. I was asked to put her on as well. Thank you. This next slide was not in our original plan for this prayer service. We all know about Hurricane Harvey. It's been all over the news, and we've seen such horrible pictures on the TV. And we as elders wanted to help. Originally, we didn't know who to contact, but we found out that Brother Robert has contacts all over the place, and he was able to help put us in touch with someone who really did know of churches that needed help. He actually put us in touch with, he got information actually from Desiree Watts and David Watts, who have already carried some supplies down, I understand, to multiple churches down in the Texas area. But he asked, you know, are there any particular ones that feel like we can help more? And I want to channel our minds in on the Northwest Church of Christ. I had Brother Adam to mention this morning that I would give you more information on that because I didn't think it would be good to take that much time this morning. And I'll try to make this fast even this evening. But I think you need a little background on the Northwest Church, which is actually, the address I've got is Lumberton, Texas, but it's just barely north of Beaumont. Beaumont was on the news all over during the flooding and all. But this particular church, weeks before the flood hit, this particular church has had a problem that I don't remember ever hearing of. And I don't know the total number of families in this particular congregation, but the information that we received from Desiree is that they had just had a special prayer service. I think it was 2 weeks before the flood, because 52% of the members in that congregation had had a death in the family. I don't know if that was an outbreak of an epidemic or whatever. I don't know what happened. But you know their hearts were heavy already. They have had a prayer service very similar to what we're having tonight, because 52% of them had a death in the family within the last 6 weeks. That would be tough to begin with. And then along comes Hurricane Harvey. 10 of the families in that congregation lost everything. Everyone in the family was affected. I understand that 3 of 4 of the elders in that congregation, their homes were totally flooded out as well. Thursday, after Brother Robert put us in touch with them and we got numbers for them, we talked to one of the elders there. His name was David Totina. But David told us, he was very humble, by the way. I could tell by his voice, and I've seen his picture on the internet. You can look up Northwest Church of Christ on the internet. It has the pictures of the elders. But he's an elderly guy. And that touches me. I'm getting to that stage myself. But he was very humble. And when I asked him, I said, "What can we do for you?" He said, "Everything." He said, "Everything." And then after he thought a minute, he said, "We do have food." He said, "We're okay on food." But he said, "Our families have lost everything." He said, one of the men of the congregation, and he told his name, I wish I had wrote it down. One of the members in the congregation was organizing a work this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, yesterday and today, to go into those brethren's home and cut out the sheetrock and all the things that we've seen on TV, take out the belongings that are damaged with flood and move them out and get it cleaned out so they can start re-cleaning and re-getting their lives back together. He also told me that area there, now this was Thursday of this past week, that's almost 2 weeks after the flood. He said this area is pretty much an island. There's water still all around. There's only limited access even to get into here. I suspect they have to have four-wheel drive vehicles or something to be able to get through the water that's still around them. But he said, "We're going to try to get everything back and get things going." And this good brother is helping to coordinate the work to do that. He said, "If you've got somebody available, send them on." I wanted to go, but I didn't. But I can tell you, if you want to work, I can put you in touch with somebody that can put you to work. In Beaumont, Texas, in Lumberton, he went on to say, he said, every single church in the path all the way through Louisiana, Texas and Louisiana, he said, every single church has a similar story to what we have. He said, "It's not good. And we need your help any way that you can." The church here sent a check on, got it in the mail on Friday for $5,000 to send to them. When we elders were originally talking about this, we were talking about sending $10,000. But do you remember the predictions that were going on Thursday of the, well, actually, I guess we made the decision Wednesday or Thursday. We also knew about Hurricane Irma that was coming. And I did not have this put on the slide up there, but we decided maybe we don't need to send $10,000 over there, because Hurricane Irma at that time was slated to go right smack up the middle of Florida. We're supporting Basilio Munoz, who's working with a church in Florida. And we thought, you know what, maybe we ought to save half of this in case we need to send some down to them. We need to pray that that won't happen, that they won't have damage like they've had in Texas. But we don't know yet. It still remains to be seen. But after the storm passes through, if we don't need to send it down to Brother Basilio's congregation in Florida, we may very well follow up with another help for Northwest Church. I do know that they need anything that they can get. So we need to remember them. I received a request this afternoon, actually, at Roger Witt's funeral, that we include the students at Florida Christian College. You remember they're down there around Tampa, and that's part of the pathway that they're projecting Irma to go through. And this particular parent was concerned about those students that are down there. Let me tell you, those of us who've had kids off at college know the concern that you have. Frankly, I have a grandson at Auburn, not quite in Florida, but I have a little bit of concern about him as well. I hear they cancel classes tomorrow. I hope he's on his way home. Don't know yet. But I say this to say one more thing, and we're going to close this prayer service. But Brother Billy Young will lead us in a prayer on this. But we know, as Robert has mentioned, we don't understand how things happen, but things have a way of bringing glory to God, and we need to pray that that will happen. But we need to also pray that God will, first of all, keep us all safe, keep our brothers and sisters safe down in Northwest Church and in the church where Brother Basilio works. We need to pray that God will keep all of those people safe that are in the path of the storm. Buildings can be redone. Structures can be replaced. But let me tell you, a precious life is not going to be replaced on this earth. They get to go home and live with God, which is not a bad thing. But we need to remember them in our prayers. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Billy to lead us in our prayer for those affected by the two hurricanes, both the Hurricane Harvey and also Hurricane Irma at this time. Brother Billy. This concludes this portion of our prayer service. We'll kind of resume what we would normally do in extending the invitation. Brother Matt, I'll turn it over to you.
Through the Gospels, we can see many different miracles which Jesus performed. He caused the deaf to hear. He caused the blind to see. He made the lame walk. He made those who were dead rise up to life. And through all of the miracles that Jesus did and his disciples following and learning all along his footsteps, along his path, all throughout Christ's life, even up to the point of his death, on one particular occasion, his disciples came to him and asked to learn something. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, his disciples come to him and they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Of all of the things the disciples could have asked Jesus to teach them how to do, that he was doing here on this earth, he being at the creation of the world, they came and asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Just as John had taught his disciples. You see, they were aligning themselves with the discipleship of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, the absolute necessity that you have is to pray. And one of the greatest blessings that you have as a disciple of Christ is the avenue of prayer. To take that for granted, to waste that, or to belittle that and not use it causes, in my eyes, a disgrace to what Christ has given to each and every one of us, a way to talk to the Father. If you're here this evening and you're not a disciple of Christ, let me tell you something. You have no way to talk to God because you're not in His family. You're not in His body, the body of Christ. If you're here this evening and you have been in that body of Christ, but really you felt like all I have done is I have wasted this prayer. I have not prayed like I want to pray. I have not done what I needed to do as a child of God. Then we invite you to begin that this evening. And you have a great opportunity to do that. We're going to sing the song, All to Jesus I Surrender. And if you want to make that commitment to Him, you have this opportunity to do so, to take everything and surrender all things to Him. If you would like to do that, you may do that while we stand and as we sing.